One of the great gifts from our civilization that keeps on giving is the Peter Pan story. There's so much richness, so much depth, so much meaning, and so many possibilities in that story. And it's been retold yet again, not for the first time in the history of this piece, which is just a little over a century old. And that is in the show Neverland, which opened last night at the First Interstate Center downtown, is the opening of the Best of Broadway series, the opening of the restored venue, and so much more. And it runs for 5 more performances throughout the weekend. We're going to spend time with a couple different people from a couple different vantage points of Neverland. In a little time, we'll do what we always have to do, which is fun with the villain. But of course, it is a story about kids, and it's a story about boys. And even before I bring this boy in, I'm going to give the brief overview of how this Neverland starts. It is cast that there is a family with a single mother and whose husband had died. She has 4 young boys, and they're going through the changes, through those life changes, when J.M. Barrie comes along and enters their lives. And everybody has a lot of needs that get fulfilled in a lot of wonderful ways by each other. And I think that's all the farther I'm going to leave that. But there is a good reason that there's at all times 4 brilliant young boys on stage, one of whom is Caleb Rees-Paul, who is with us right now. Good morning, Caleb.
Hello.
And great to have you here. This is a big deal. For what, about 2 months? You've been out on the road doing a tour, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And if this weren't going on, you'd be, what, living in New York and going to school?
Yeah, probably skipping it a lot to audition, but yeah.
Well, there is that. We know how that works for artists at an early age. And I guess we'll just get this right out of the way and ask you how old you are.
I'm 10 years old.
10 years old, okay. And so you've had a few years to take a few auditions and do a few things like this. But let's start in a way why you're even there. What do you remember about your early childhood, young man? About singing, about theater, about the arts in your life. What are some of your early memories of pleasurable things that way?
Well, I was either 3 or 4 when I saw my first Broadway show, Annie. And that was really the first time that I ever saw a real musical theater show. And that's when I really decided that I really liked it.
So even when you were 3 or 4 and you not only just sat through it, you got into it and you liked it, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember what you liked about it?
Just the life on stage, how everybody was so alive and how the musical just fit perfectly together.
Nice. And so therefore you felt like this maybe is your world. Then you knew you were going to need some skills to go along with that. So talk about singing in your life. Have you always sung?
Yeah, I've always sung. I've been in a few school plays, but I just started getting serious a few months ago.
And you have a mom who is an actor and a singer. Do you guys sing at home?
Yeah, sometimes. She sometimes helps me with my songs. But
yeah. What about just singing songs at home? Do you just ever sing? Do you remember singing songs as a kid around? Did she sing songs to you?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah, okay. And so then once you decided to start singing, what form did you take? Did you get into a chorus or what?
I didn't really do anything with it. Like I said, I did a few school plays, and then I did a showcase where I got an agent, and that's when I started auditioning, where I sang songs to get jobs.
And then do you take voice lessons? Or singing lessons, let's call it?
Yeah, I have a vocal coach, Bob Marks, so I go to him like once a week, sometimes once every 2 weeks to brush up on audition songs.
Okay, and then as he works with you, is he working with everything about the song, like what kind of sound to make as well as how to enunciate the words?
Sometimes, but a vocal teacher mainly does that. A vocal coach just gives you music and
sits at the piano usually?
Sits in the piano and plays it for you and tells you how to sing it in the best way.
Yeah. And what are some of the kind of lessons you learn? I mean, are there just some of the famous things like slow down or enunciate better, or what are those things you hear?
Mainly enunciating and slow down to speed up. Because sometimes there are these long passages of really fast words, and you have to slow down and then speed up to be able to do it.
Wow, what wisdom right there, isn't it? Yeah, you can apply that to just about everything, can't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
And speaking of applying it to everything, so you have this really wonderful focus and this passion, and so you're learning these specific skills so you can be on stage. Nevertheless, you have to go to school in some form or another, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And learn all the other courses, math and everything else?
Yes, math, science, social studies.
Yeah. How does that work? Is school kind of in your way, or does it kind of fit in?
Oh, it sort of fits in. Sometimes on travel days, we do it on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
I do most of my stuff on the computer.
Sure.
Science, I think, is the only thing that I do in a real book.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have one tutor who sort of goes around and helps us. And it's really weird that nobody's doing the same thing. Everybody has designed their own curriculum.
Yeah.
So,
Because how many boys are in the show? In the whole cast, not in the show at any one time, but in the whole cast?
There are six boys who rotate through four roles.
Oh, okay, so there's a bunch of you, and that's necessary. And so that means everybody gets a day off, too, doesn't
it? Yes.
And that must feel good, too, occasionally, to get a little rest. Yeah. So you've done this for about 2 months, that you've been on the road, you've been living in hotels, and so far, is it getting tiresome, or is it exciting?
No, it's really, really fun to get to see all the places and how all the theaters are so different.
That's true. You just walk in, and it would be completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the dressing room is and whether it's old and funky and there's mice in the corner.
One time we even had a bat.
Oh, that's good. That makes for good stories on the road to impress your friends back in New York when you get there. And then you show up and do the show. Are you really exhausted at the end of a show, or are you feeling good?
It depends. Sometimes, but sometimes no. I am really hungry after the show. I basically have two dinners, one before the show, one after. But I'm not that, like, drooping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still awake, but, like,
But now you live an artist's life, so you stay up late at night and sleep in the morning. It's probably early morning for you to be here right now, right? Yeah, they had to drag you out of bed. I'm spending time with Caleb Rees-Paul, who's one of the six young men who play the four roles of the boys in the show. And Caleb plays three different roles from performance to performance, Peter, George, and Jack. And last night as I saw the show, and I saw how complex it is, and each of you does so many specific things, whether it's the choreography, the singing, the lines you have to do. Do you ever forget who you are?
No, I have done that once.
Once was enough.
It was not that bad.
Okay.
And it was fun.
Well, everybody covers and it works. So what goes on in your head to kind of keep it straight who you are? Do you just kind of walk out at the beginning of the show and say, okay, I'm George? Do you feel differently as those three different people?
Yes. As Jack and when I play George, I would jump a lot before I go on stage. And when I'm Peter, I sort of don't do that because he's more quiet than Jack and George. He's not as playful. So that sort of gets me into the mood of them. And then I say, okay, I'm Jack. Here's my track. Go on.
That's a great strategy. No, I can see that would work really effectively. I'll ask several unfair questions, and this is the first one. Do you... Not the role, but the person. Do you more enjoy being Peter, George, or Jack?
I like them all equally. Okay. They're all great characters.
Yeah. And so, therefore, do you kind of find different sides of yourself?
Yeah.
In a certain way. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it that
way. And Caleb, who plays these three boys. Now, there's especially in the first half of this play, in the first act, there's a really wonderful message that is being given about the need for us all, well, through the whole play, but especially in the first half, about the need for us all to keep our childhood, to keep our inner child, to always remember to play, to not get too serious, and that has many, many lines that go through the play. And so this is my second unfair, hard question. Here you are, and you're a young man carrying the responsibility of three very specific hard work roles where you have to do all this stuff. So you're having to do a very adult thing while you're also having to live being a child. Have you thought about those two sides of your life as you do it?
Definitely.
Well, tell me about what you've thought about that.
Well, I can be a kid outside of the theater when I can, like, have fun with my friends and whatever. But when I'm at the theater, I have to do my job.
Yeah, and so there you're just focusing. And does that balance work for you pretty well?
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of time outside of the theater and plenty of time inside the theater, so.
And can I project that probably the six of you by now are pretty good friends?
Yeah, really, really good.
Yeah, and so I'm going to guess that it'll be friendships that will probably last a long time after this show is gone.
Definitely.
Yeah. Caleb Rees-Paul, who is one of the young men in this show, at this point, is it projected how long you'll be with the show? Is it for this school year?
Yes, and we may go until July, June.
So it will probably take up about a year of your life.
Yeah.
That you will have done this Neverland show, and now let's finally turn around a little bit more on the relationship of Peter and J.M. Barrie. And J.M. Barrie, who I think I won't say too much, certainly has a father figure aspect within this play. Talk about your relationship with that particular actor and both on and off stage.
Well, on stage, we're always in character, so, well, it really depends who I am, how much I connect to Barrie. If I'm Peter, it's a lot. If I'm Jack, it's still a lot, but not as much. If I'm George, it's about the same as Jack, still a lot, but not that much. Then off stage, we're really great friends. We all hang out with each other, and we just have a really fun time.
Nice. And does the whole do you fly from city to city normally?
Sometimes, but we mostly travel by bus. We have a tour bus where we basically load everyone on, and then we drive to the next place.
Then everybody just lives on the tour bus.
Yep.
And have you gotten to know most of the people in the cast to some extent?
Yes, all of them.
So even after 2 months, you're a family.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. This is Caleb Rees-Paul, who is one of the young men in Neverland, which opened last night and has 5 more performances at the First Interstate Center downtown, formerly known as the INB, formerly known before that as the Opera House, in case you don't come to Spokane very often, but this show that does last through the end of the weekend. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming in, and we're going to, later on I'll return to this, but your grandparents are going to come and see you in this show, aren't they?
Yes, definitely.
Have they seen you yet in the show?
They have in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where we opened. I think they saw the show like 3 times.
Okay, but then they'll see it a little different, because I'll bet you have found the show has changed a little bit and probably gotten more comfortable in 2 months, don't you?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Caleb. Caleb Rees-Paul. Okay, now here comes Hook. Connor McGiffin playing an interesting double role, and that is of first the jerk, the theater producer. Good morning, Connor McGiffin. And probably the most unfair thing I can do is try to profile you with any one adjective, because that must be a really fun thing about your role. You have so many pressures and persona and things, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
He has a lot of, I play both Charles Frohman and Captain Hook, who Charles Frohman in the show inspires in J.M. Barrie's imagination. And it's really tempting at first to play both characters very similarly as gruff and self-centered. But when a really big tool for me starting out was a book that was written by his son. It's called Charles Frohman, Man and Manager. Mm. After Charles passed away on the Lusitania, his son wrote this book about his beginnings, about his how his parents were German Jewish immigrants who came over and started a cigar factory, and how that cigar factory burned down, and then they moved to New York City, and how he fell in love with the idea of theater at a very early age. And finding that light was very important for me through as a way to get into the script so that I could empathize with him, so that he didn't just come off as this blustering, very angry man. And he also truly cares about his friendships with everybody within the world. He cares about J.M. Barrie. He cares about his investors, about the people that are going to save his theater. Contrast to that with Hook, who just pretty much views everyone as either subservient to him or a meal ticket or a meal. So finding where they connect was very apparent in the script, but finding where they separate was really the hardest work on the job.
Nice. Well, and I think both the show and you did a good job in right away from the beginning showing that Charles Frohman also had his back against the wall.
Yes.
And so necessity rules much mm-hmm. about how anybody's going to behave at any point. And you and Charles does get, well, there's some things we won't say whether he does or doesn't pivot. So let's leave that for the show to define if and how that happens. So there's that manifestation, and then there's of course the deliciousness always of the quintessential villain and Hook, and through all time, certainly as I was raising my kids, we had Dustin Hoffman's Hook to think about, and that was another take on Hook. But the thing that really struck me in the show was that the power of Hook's character, and the power of Hook's character to change J.M. Barrie. Mm-hmm. And how far dare we talk into that subject?
Well, it's no denying that James Hook is a gale force wind who comes into Barrie's life at the right moment to inspire him to, let's say, keep going at a point where when James Barrie's back is also against the wall. Mm. And he has just this, in every iteration of Hook, whether it was the cartoon series where Tim Curry voiced him, or the original play where the original actor, terrified children to the point where they would leave the theater. Mm. He's always had this power, this aura around him. It's sort of the exact perfect opposite to the light that Peter and Wendy have. He's got this dark comic sort of toxicity that you just can't help but turn away from. And so finding who he is has honestly been, Charles Frohman's great, but Captain Hook, he has got to be one of the biggest thrills of my life, because he's just, there's something as an actor so delicious about inhabiting somebody who just doesn't, who always gets what he wants and doesn't care how he gets what he wants.
Mm-hmm. And you've had 2 months to get deeper into Hook. Do you every few performances do you get another little light bulb go off?
I do. Specifically in the way that I'm able to interact with my pirate gang, who everybody within that group is to me. Because a lot of the Captain Hook's interactions are directly to James, and he knows exactly from the moment you read the script day one, you know exactly what he wants from him and how to get it. But in terms of how he interacts with his crew and who that person is to him and who that person is to him, has been a wonderful process of discovery.
And what you learn from your fellow actors, too.
Yes, and yeah. These guys give so much on stage. This cast has been absolutely incredible through a very difficult rehearsal process. And the fact that when we come to the theater every day and some of them give something new, some of them find a way to jump in and grab my attention immediately. And it's just a beautiful play that we have together, that we are able to interact with one another in these giant, big British power musical theater opera moments that we have.
And Connor McGiffin, who plays Charles Frohman and plays Hook in Neverland, which opened last night and continues for 5 more performances. So after you have your year of being Hook, are you ever going to want to be a nice guy again?
Oh, yeah. I have been I don't want to say typecast, because I haven't been in the business at that long, but even in college, we all had these individualized, our senior year, we all got these individualized jackets that had our class number 2014 thrown in somewhere in the back, and my nickname on the back was Supervillain. And so that's just sort of been the track that I've been on for most of my life. And the first good guy that I got to play was actually 2 years ago when I was privileged to do Annie. It was Mr. Bundles. And I got to smile sincerely on stage for the first time since I think I did children's theater. So I am excited to get back to the city and find out if I can play a good guy with honest intentions who's true and noble and virtuous.
And speaking of college, you went to the same very significant theatrical training place that Caleb's mother went, right?
Yes, I did. I am a very proud graduate of the University of Michigan. Go Blue.
Yeah, talk about that department and why it's special.
Oh, my gosh. Do you have 45 minutes free? So the most important thing for Michigan, for me, you know, of course, it has all of the facilities that you could ever want. The faculty are precise in their technique. You have the amazing resources, especially the music library. But the most important thing for me, coming as a small town kid who barely knew anything, who just had sort of this rawness.
And what small town was that?
Dover, Delaware.
Okay, great one.
Where within the city there wasn't a theater within it, so I had to go in either an hour up to Wilmington or an hour down to Rehoboth. They had this love for teaching and patience for their students that made you feel safe. And not safe in the bad way, where it's a coddling safe. It's a safe in that you are free to explore and you are free to pursue in school what you think is going to fulfill you the most. And you can talk to them about anything, any subject. You can talk to them about your family life if you need to on that particular day. And on top of being excellent technicians and directors and knowing the circle of fifths like the back of their hand, they are also the kindest people, which when you are pursuing a career where it's at the very worst of times can be extremely cutthroat, and you can be so busy looking to the side of you that you don't see what's going on in front of you, they make you take a step back and really see where you are and know that while you're at Michigan, you will be cared for and you will be safe.
Connor McGiffin, and in this part of our interview on the University of Michigan, we do put this up as a podcast, so you can get them to open it up and find out that you just said that. But that's a lovely testimonial. And he plays Charles Frohman and Hook in Neverland, which opened last night, and then it has a performance tonight at 7:30, and then 2 and 7:30 on Saturday, and then 1 and 6:30 on Sunday for the final performances of Neverland here in Spokane. Connor, thank you very much for coming around, getting up early.
Thanks for having me.
And back to you, Caleb. Thanks so much for coming around.
Thank you too.
What a treat to meet you.